Today, as we go to Scripture, this will be our last Sunday for a while here in the book of Ezekiel. So when we come back next week, we'll begin for a while in the Gospels. We're going to go into the Gospels and then New Testament and Old Testament as we rotate through Scripture. Gospel, New Testament, Old Testament. Gospels, New Testament, Old Testament. That's the way we rotate through. After chapter 24 of Ezekiel, the prophecies change to the prophecies of the nation. So this morning, we'll talk about Ezekiel chapter 20. I'm going to be reading out of the Bible that's right there in front of you. And so if you want to pull the Bible out of the pew, we are on page 749. Page 749, Ezekiel chapter 20. There's a certain piece of... One of the things I really enjoy doing is counseling young men who are considering marriage, or think about being married, who have met some sweet girl and aren't sure if they're old enough or if it's the right time. And so you get these older high schoolers, these college students, and it's like, well, I've got a sweet girl. I just don't know if we need to get married, or if, I don't know if I'm in the right spot in life, or, oh, gee, my parents, they got married, but they got divorced, and so what should I do? Is this, you know, should we wait and see a little bit longer? And my favorite advice to give them is, I mean, is she a Christian? And does she exhibit the virtues that the Holy Spirit is in her life? Well, then, brother, you need to lock it down. This is the advice. Is she a Christian? Does she love the Lord? Does she want to be at church worshiping Christ? Does she exhibit the fact that the Holy Spirit is in her life? I mean, is this a beautiful girl that you're taken with? And you lock it down. There are not enough of those around out there. And so as soon as you see it, this whole thing about waiting for marriage until you're like in your 30s is foolishness and it's the silliest thing. Why don't you go ahead and lock it down is what I tell the young gentleman. And this, it's my favorite piece of marriage advice to give is, yeah, you don't know enough. And yeah, you are a kid, but you know, just lock it down, and you'll figure it out as you go along. If this is a godly woman who loves the Lord, then you're going to be all right. You're going to have, we all go through troubles and spats and have to figure out how to live with somebody else, but you'll get it. You got it. If you've got God, if you have the Holy Spirit, you have all the tools that you need in order to eventually figure it out. You'll be all right. But there's time for another piece of relationship advice that I give. And this other piece of relationship advice in times is, you need to shut it down, the opposite piece, where I will say to a young man or a young woman, this relationship, is this going anywhere? Is that person a Christian? Is this who you want to be with for the rest of your life? Is this a godly person? If you went and prayed to the Lord and asked God who you were supposed to marry, is it this person? And if it's not, then you need to shut it down. You don't need to waste any more time on this one. In fact, a lot of times, the right answer is you just need to put this away completely. You need to, I would say to a student now, you need to block their phone number. You might say to a person previously, when they send you a letter, just return it without opening it. You just need to cut them off completely. What, could you relate to that one? I get a laugh out there. You cut them off. There's a time for just not even listening. It's not a, oh, you need to hear me out. No, you don't need to hear him out. If you know this is not right, if this relationship is inappropriate, if this person is not somebody who even wants to follow after God with you, then it's just time to be done. It's time to cut it off completely. And it's funny sometimes in the case of relationships, but it's absolutely serious. There's a time for cutting people off completely and not even listening to their pleas. It gets more tragic when it's a family member. But there are, unfortunately, times in which there's a family member that you just have to say no more. We can't listen to you anymore. We can't take your calls anymore. What you're doing is not right, and you continue to not do what is right, and you continue to not do what is right, and we just can't be around it anymore. And there is a time when you have to cut them off, and it's grievous. It's grievous when it is adults who it is their parents that they have to say no more. It's grievous when it is adults who it is their adult children that they have to say with tears and with broken hearts, I love you. You can't come back home anymore. And it is such a sad and a painful situation, but because of the vileness of sin, because of the tragedy of their decisions and their choices in life, there is a time in which they must be cut off. Even more grievous than this, in the passage that we read today, God, who has been grieving over Israel all this time, says finally, no more. They, these elders of Israel, cry out to God, and God says to them, I will not listen to your prayers anymore because of the awful sin that they are doing and again choosing not to follow God. And yet, God says he will continue to act not according to who they are, but according to who he is, which is a great joy and blessing. Let's pray together, and let's read Ezekiel chapter 20. Father God, I thank you that you have been so gracious to us, that though we have deserved to be cut off, you have still shown grace and forgiveness to us. Father, put your Spirit on us now so that we can learn something new about you, so that we can worship you better. This I pray in your name. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 20. In the seventh year, in the fifth month, on the tenth day of the month, some of Israel's elders came to inquire of the Lord, and they sat down in front of me. And then the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, speak with the elders of Israel and tell them, this is what the Lord God says. Are you coming to inquire of me? As I live, I will not let you inquire of me. This is the declaration of the Lord God. Will you pass judgment against them? Will you pass judgment, son of man? Explain the detestable practices of their fathers to them. Say to them, this is what the Lord God says. On the day I chose Israel, I swore an oath to the descendants of Jacob's house, and I made myself known to them in the land of Egypt. I swore to them, saying, I am the Lord your God. On that day, I swore to them that I would bring them out of the land of Egypt and into a land that I had searched out for them, a land flowing with milk and honey, the most beautiful of all the lands. I also said to them, throw away, each of you, the abhorrent things that you prize. Do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me. And they were unwilling to listen to me, and none of them threw away the abhorrent things they prized. They did not abandon the idols of Egypt. So I considered pouring out my wrath on them and exhausting my anger against them within the land of Egypt. But I acted for the sake of my name, so that it would not be profaned in the eyes of the nations they were living among, in whose sight I had made myself known to Israel by bringing them out of Egypt. So I brought them out of the land of Egypt, and I led them into the wilderness. And then I gave them my statutes, and I explained my ordinances to them. The person who does them will live by them. And I also gave them my Sabbaths to serve as a sign between me and them, so that they would know that I am the Lord God who consecrated them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not follow my statutes, and they rejected my ordinances. The person who does them will live by them. They also completely profaned my Sabbaths. And I considered pouring out my wrath on them in the wilderness to put an end to them. But I acted for the sake of my name, so that it would not be profaned in the eyes of the nations in whose sight I had brought them out. However, I swore to them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land I had given them, the most beautiful of all lands, flowing with milk and honey, because they rejected my ordinances, profaned my Sabbaths, and did not follow my statutes, for their hearts went after idols. Yet I spared them from destruction. I did not bring them to an end in the wilderness. Then I said to their children in the wilderness, don't follow the statutes of your fathers. Defile yourself with idols or keep their ordinances. I am the Lord your God. Follow my statutes. Keep my ordinances and practice them. Keep my Sabbaths holy, and they will be a sign between me and you, so that you may know that I am the Lord your God. But the children rebelled against me. They did not follow my statutes or carefully keep my ordinances. The person who does them will live by them. They also profaned my Sabbaths. So I considered pouring out my wrath on them and exhausting my anger against them in the wilderness. But I withheld my hand And I acted for the sake of my name, so that it would not be profaned in the eyes of the nations, in whose sight I brought them out. However, I swore to them in the wilderness that I would despise, or that I would disperse them among the nations and scatter them among the countries. For they did not practice my ordinances, but rejected my statutes and profaned my Sabbaths. And their eyes were fixed on their father's idols. I also gave them statutes that were not good, and ordinances they could not live by. And when they sacrificed every firstborn in the fire, I defiled them through their gifts in order to devastate them so that they would know that I am the Lord. Therefore, son of man, speak to the house of Israel and tell them, this is what the Lord God says. In this way also your fathers blasphemed me and committed treachery against me. And when I brought them into the land that I swore to give them, that they saw any hill, a leafy tree, they offered their sacrifices and presented their offerings there. They also sent up their pleasing aromas and poured out their drink offerings there. So I asked them, what is this high place you are going to? Is it still called Bama today? Therefore say to the house of Israel, this is what the Lord God says. Are you defiling yourselves the way your fathers did, and prostituting yourselves with their abhorrent things? When you offer your gifts, sacrificing your children in the fire, you still continue to defile yourselves with all your idols today. So should I let you inquire of me, house of Israel? As I live, this is the declaration of the Lord God, I will not let you inquire of me. When you say, let us be like the nations, let the clans of other countries serving the wood and stone, what you have in mind will never happen. As I live, the declaration of the Lord God, I will reign over you with a strong hand, an outstretched arm, and outpoured wrath. I will bring you from the peoples, and I will gather you from the countries where you were scattered with a strong hand and an outstretched arm and outpoured wrath. I will lead you into the wilderness of the peoples and enter into judgment with you there face to face. Just as I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will enter into judgment with you. This is the declaration of the Lord God. I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge you of those who rebel and transgress against me. I will bring them out of the land where they lived as foreign residents. They will not enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. As for you, house of Israel, this is what the Lord God says. Go and serve your idols, each of you. But afterwards you will surely listen to me. You will no longer defile my holy name with the gifts and idols. For on my holy mountain, Israel's high mountain, the declaration of the Lord God, there the entire house of Israel, all of them, will serve me in the land. There I will accept them, and I will require your contributions and choicest gifts, all your holy offerings. When I bring you from the peoples and gather you from the countries where you have been scattered, I will accept you as a pleasing aroma, and I will demonstrate my holiness through you in the sight of the nations. When I lead you into the land of Israel, the land I swore to give to your fathers, you will know that I am the Lord. There you will remember your ways and all your deeds by which you have defiled yourself, and you will loathe yourself for all the evil deeds you have done. You will know that I am the Lord, house of Israel, when I have dealt with you for the sake of my name, rather than according to your evil ways and corrupt acts. This is the declaration of the Lord God. This is the word of the Lord for us today, in long form here. God tells them they're not just wrong this time. They're a part of a long history of being wrong. He says, go back with me for a moment in your minds, Israel. Go back and remember, not just this obstinate, sinful generation, but the one before it, your fathers and their fathers. He says, remember all the way back to Egypt. When I was going to bring you out of Egypt, you were slaves, and I was going to bring you out of slavery. And remember how even then, even before they made it out of Egypt, they were already rebelling against me. They were already doing what is evil. You'll recall that Moses did not go into an easy situation bringing the people out of Israel. It was not a very kind calling that Moses got to participate in. He was called to go and lead God's people out of Egypt, to set God's people free. But they were jerks to Moses. You know, he went back to speak to them, and they said things like, what are you going to kill us? Like that Egyptian that you killed? You know, what do you mean to try and solve the issues between us, Moses? And from the very beginning, though they are grumbling and crying out and they're suffering, so they are also grumbling and crying out against Moses, who's bringing them out. He says, you remember how even before they left Egypt, they were already grumbling against me. I said, I'm going to bring you out. I found the very best piece of land for you. I'm going to give you the very best piece of all the land. But you have to leave your Egyptian gods behind. But even from the very beginning, they would not do it. You recall, even before they arrived in the promised land, there is the law that is given. Mount Sinai. Out in the wilderness, before they arrive in the promised land, God calls Moses up on the mountainside. All of Israel is supposed to hang out down at the base of the mountain. And God is going to come down and give the law to Moses so that he can speak to the people and they can enter a contract with God and start following after God rightly. And even as the contract is being handed down, what is Israel doing? They are building a golden calf idol so that they can worship an Egyptian god. It is like infidelity at the wedding ceremony. They do not even wait before they continue to worship false gods. All of them, all gathered up together, at no point they follow God rightly, but from the very beginning, they're grumbling against God. So, a whole generation of them are left to wander in the wilderness before they arrive in the promised land. God says, here's your punishment. This generation, they're going away. Let's see if we get a better generation in the next one. And God already knows their hearts. So they wander in the wilderness for a long time until it's time to go into the promised land, and then Moses's young protege, Joshua, is going to be the one that leads them into the promised land. But even after Joshua leads them into the promised land, in Joshua chapter 24, some of his last words are telling them that they perhaps should not try to follow after the God of Israel because they're not good people and they're going to fail at doing it. You might know the verse from Joshua chapter 24, that choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That might be cross-stitched on something in your mother's house. You might see that around in place. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have you read Joshua chapter 24? Do you know the context of this? Joshua says to Israel, this is some of Joshua's last words to them. They've come into the land, they've taken over the land, and Joshua says, all right, Israel, choose this day who you're going to serve. Egyptian gods? You're going to Philistine gods? Which ones are you going to worship? You should not, Joshua says to them, worship Yahweh, the God of Israel, because you're an obstinate people. And if you start following him, but then you start turning away and worshiping all these other gods, you're going to face judgment. So choose this day which gods you're going to worship, Egyptian or Philistine. But me and my house, Joshua says, we're going to worship the Lord. That's the context there. And all of Israel goes, no, no, Joshua, we're with you. We're going to follow the Lord. And Joshua says, you're testifying against yourselves today. And here in Ezekiel, reaching all the way back, God is speaking through Ezekiel to these Israelites and saying, remember that when you made a pledge but you didn't keep it. Remember that when you said you would get rid of the gods of Egypt but you never really did. You brought them into the land, you worshipped in all these pagan high places, wherever there used to be, that's what this leafy trees and all these mountainsides and high places, those were places where the people who previously inhabited the land worshipped their evil gods. So you came in and you started worshipping in all these evil places and doing detestable practices. It's listed here, sacrificing children. This wasn't some kind of innocent thing, this whole worshipping other gods. They were doing evil in worshiping these other gods. These other gods were no gods at all. And all of this led to evil practices, including the sacrificing of their own children. It's the first generation. They don't even leave Egypt before they're disobeying God. They get out in the wilderness, and immediately the first thing they do, even in the ceremony where God is giving them the law, is that they reject God. In the second generation, maybe they'll be better. No. They continue to not worship God. What about the generation after that? And the generation after that? And here we are, all the way in Ezekiel, him saying, you guys have been doing just what your parents did before you. All of you have rejected the one true God to worship these pagan gods. All of you have done what is evil. Man, Israel, right? What is it with these people? I mean, what gives? You would have thought by now somebody would have gotten it. All right, let me ask you the question. God is saying in this passage, I'm going to cut you off. I will not let you inquire of me right now. So they're going and worshiping these other gods. The elders now come over to Ezekiel, the prophet of the one true God, and they say, well, listen, we've been worshiping the other gods, but go inquire to us of Yahweh. Now inquire as the one true God. And his response is, I will not let you inquire to me. Is the Lord wrong to cut them off completely? Is he without cause? Did you read the case that he laid against them? Is it inappropriate that he says, I am done with you people? You're given over to judgment? Is the Lord wrong to cut them off? He would not have been. And yet, the theme throughout all of this is that God treats them according to who he is, not according to who they are. These people are terrible. But what about us? What about you? You who perhaps have been blessed in such a way in life, just as Israel. I mean, they were brought out of slavery. They were given the best land. God made promises to them. He was going to provide for them. The stuff that God was offering them was incredible, especially from where they came from, slavery. Perhaps you were greatly blessed by God. Some of you born into great families, excellent Christian parents. Some of you simply the privilege of education, the blessing of a career and a stable job. Many of us blessed with children, even to be able to have children. The blessing of the Lord. To be born into the place that we were born into, to have the freedoms that we were born into, even by being born into this country, to have been so blessed, and yet to live a life of sin, to go and do what is wrong, to be born knowing what is right. Some of you who were born, who were raised up in the church, who grew up in one, and yet still turned away from God. So we went to my Mimi's funeral, and it was neat to see, because that side of the family, so you know, you've got family, and everyone's got that crazy cousin, right? You know, everyone's got the branches of the family, who it's like, yeah. It is like it's fun, because it gets even generational, because there are some of the old family names of this area who like have the same last name, but don't associate with each other as actual relatives, because somewhere way back it was like, we don't associate with those ones. We're not a part of that one. Yeah, every family's got that, you know, one cousin or sibling or that person who's just, we don't associate with that one. We cut them off, right? I mean, we got that one. But you know, shockingly, God's been so good. Over on my mom's side with Mimi, and we don't even have one of them. I mean, nobody's been divorced in generations. There's just all these good Christian people raising good Christian kids, and it's bizarre. It's not normal to have such generational blessing that God has been so good to us, and to gather around with all these cousins who I don't get to see that often. We're not all that close. We've all moved and scattered around the country and gone off to different places, but to gather back up and just talk about, you know, that godly grandmother we had who raised her daughters right, all three of them, who then raised us right, and gave us an opportunity, and just we're living so blessed. It reminded me of the great inheritance I have. God was good to me. I have excellent parents. Man, I had excellent grandparents. And yet, for all the inheritance I had, I did not pursue God one time in my life. I pursued whatever seemed right to me. I pursued evil. What was sin? I went after what I thought would be good rather than what I knew was right by God. And I lived as a sinner, just like the rest, just like Israel. And I had no excuse to, because God had been so generous to me. What about you? Perhaps you were not born with great blessing. You weren't born into a wonderful spiritual inheritance. Perhaps you were. And yet, we have all acted as Israel. We have all been sinful, not putting our trust in God, but putting our trust in idolatrous things, a relationship that we know we're living wrong in it, but we've promoted it above doing right and obeying God because this is what we need in life right now, and so we're going to do whatever it takes to keep that relationship going, even if it's not doing right. Or a job, or the way we handle our money in such a way that is not godly, but is sinful. But we do it anyway because we need that, and without that, everything's not going to be okay in our life. And we trust God and all, that's great, but we also trust here. And so we're going to do what it takes, even if it's wrong. This is idolatry, and we are in the same boat as Israel. The good news for us today is the same good news as Israel. God has not acted towards Israel according to what they have done. But again and again, he acted towards Israel according to his namesake, who he is. He made a promise to Abraham that his people, he was going to make them into a great nation, and that someday out of Israel was going to come someone who would bless all the nations. He made a promise to Abraham that his people were going to inherit that land, that he was going to have all these descendants, and they were going to be a great nation, and they were going to have the land. God made that promise to Abraham. And God doesn't break his promises. And this isn't the sort of thing where God's like, well, you tricked me. All right, Israel, I don't like you guys, but I made a promise to your great-grandfather, so I'm going to keep it against my will. God knew. God knew what they were going to do. God knew what was in their hearts. And yet, God did not act according to their nature. God acted according to his. And God is not evil. God is good. God is not spiteful and bitter. God is loving and kind and patient towards us. God is rightly angry here. God is not some kind of like happy all the time, kindly old grandfather, like Prozac God who's always smiling on the wall. God is rightly angry at them because what they're doing is evil and sinful. It is harmful towards them. It smears his name among the nations. It only brings death because all sin brings death. And God is rightly grieved against them, and he is going to rightly bring judgment against them. But he's also going to bring salvation because in the end, he does not treat them according to their nature, but according to his. Likewise for you in your life, God has not always treated us according to our nature and what we have done. If he had, if you've taken an honest look at yourself, it would not be a good day for us if God treated us according to what we deserved, according to what we have done and who we've been. But the good news for you is God does not want to treat you according to who you are and what you have done. What God wants to do is treat you according to who he is. A couple of applications I have for you today, a couple of things you need to know and do because of who this God is. First of all, you need to know that God will not let you be his and someone else's. If you're going to follow God, you're going to have to follow God exclusively. What idol do you keep in your life? What sin, what like pet sin do you keep in your life saying, I do believe and I'm in on God, but you know, we're doing what we want to over here. God will not let you be his and be someone else's. It is all or nothing with him. So I call you today, pursue Christ exclusively in your life. Don't pursue Christ and pursue Christ exclusively. Another thing I call you to do is this. Do not pass sin down in your family as if it were an heirloom. We do this. I mean, you live long enough and you start to see some of the sins that you saw in your parents show up in you. You don't just kind of look like them. You don't just kind of act like them sometimes. But if there was sin in their life that they were unwilling to repent of all of their life, then you can start to see it show up in your life as well. But I tell you, if you persist in this sin and keep it, then you will pass sin down like an heirloom. But you don't have to. You can repent of it today. There is power in the Holy Spirit to turn away. You can say, no more of this. This sin has been in my life for maybe decades now, but Lord, today I repent. I am not going to live this way any longer. From this day forward, we will live right. We will not hand this down to our children as it was handed down here again and again. A couple things you need to know about God. He is faithful even when we are unfaithful. This is the good news about the Lord. But you also need to know that He is a judge and He will rightly bring judgment. Here's the application for you. Believe in the coming judgment. Believe in the coming hell. Again, He's not some kind of kindly old man handing out Werther's Originals, you know, to all these grandkids and you know, it doesn't matter what they do. He's a God who will rightly judge the world. He would not be good if He did not judge the world. Have you seen evil, real evil that people are doing? Have you seen all these innocent people who have been shot and killed? We need to be the kind of people, we Christians, who cry out for judgment, cry out for justice more than anything. Injustice is a bad word. What's the opposite of injustice? Justice, which is a good word. God will bring justice. The trouble is if you are the sinner on the wrong side of justice. But you need to believe in judgment. Not all of Israel makes it through this. And we have accounts all the way across the Old Testament of God bringing His judgment against people. God brings His judgment against Saul. God brings His judgment against the sons of Eli. God brings His judgment against all sorts of Korah and Korah's rebellion. God brings His judgment, and He says here, I'm going to lead you out in the wilderness with my strong arm, and not all of you are going to make it back. I'm going to pour out my wrath, and sure enough, not all of them do. God's judgment is real. You need to recognize today that facing God's judgment is a real possibility unless you put your hope in Jesus Christ. God is not obligated to you to provide you with salvation. And yet, He has acted according to His nature. And so He offers it nonetheless to you. God has been gracious where no grace was deserved. God has been loving where we were unlovable. And so, as always, the primary application is this. Put your trust in Christ today. Repent of what sin needs to be repented of your life. Do not go on living grieved as if you were that old person, but rather, live now being judged by God's own reputation and not by your own. We have the opportunity today by our choice to put our trust in God to, when Christ returns, be judged by our own actions, by our own reputation, or to be judged by Christ's actions and Christ's reputation. So I call you today, put your trust in Christ. There's this time in verse 33 here where He says, I will reign over you with a strong hand, an outstretched arm, and outpoured wrath. I will bring you from the peoples, and I will gather you from the countries where you were scattered with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, and I will outpoured wrath. This happens. But at just the right time, Christ came, God Himself. And God's wrath was poured out upon Christ on the cross for all who would believe. So for those of you who put your trust in Christ today, for anyone who would cry out to Jesus Christ, Jesus, You are Lord. Jesus is Lord. Anyone who would repent of their sins and follow after Him, there is no more wrath left in God for us. God is so good, and He has been so gracious that we do not deserve it. You can count on Him, because here He acts out of who He is and not out of who they are, that in your life as well, God has acted out of who He is and not who you are. Let us worship Him rightly together today for being so kind and so gracious to us. Father God, I thank You so much that though we have deserved it, You have given us better than what we deserved. When we deserve justice, You have given us grace. I thank You that You've been so patient with us. Father God, give us conviction today. Put Your Spirit on us to convict us of where we are deficient so that we can obey You better. If there's any person that has sin in their life today, let us repent and be a repenting people rather than a sinful people. Father, I thank You so much that you have been so patient as to hold off on this day of judgment so that we would have this opportunity to put our trust in you. Thank you for this kindness. Thank you for this grace. Thank you for this patience. Thank you for loving us. As I pray in your name, amen.